The scripture today comes from the book of Habakkuk, chapter 2, verses 2 and 3. Write a vision. Then the Lord answered me and said, write a vision and make it plain upon a tablet so that a runner can read it. There is still a vision for the appointed time. It testifies to the end. It does not deceive. If it delays, wait for it, for it is surely coming. It will not be late. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen. This comes from the book of Matthew, chapter 7, verses 15 through 20, Tree and Fruit. Watch out for the false prophets. They come to you dressed like sheep, but inside they are vicious wolves. You will know them by their fruit. Do people get bunches of grapes from thorny weeds? Or do they get figs from thistles? In the same way, every good tree produces good fruit, and every rotten tree produces bad fruit. A good tree can't produce bad fruit, and a rotten tree can't produce good fruit. Every tree that doesn't produce good fruit is chopped down and thrown into the fire. Therefore, you will know them by their fruit. This is the gospel of Christ. Glory to you, O Christ. Amen.
This morning, I have a Bible trivia question for you. Let us have a just volunteer. Contestant right now, if you like to be a contestant, please come forward right now. I give you a prize. I have your special prize. If not, if there is no volunteer, this can be an open question for everyone, okay? So make sure you raise your hand fast, okay? All right. Question, what is the shortest book in the Old Testament? Raise your hand. Oh, okay, Loretta. Okay, wait until I give you multiple choices. Thank you, but anyway. Okay, A, Genesis, B, Jonah, C, Zechariah, D, Obadiah. Raise your hand now. Lisa? Jonah? No, sorry. You won last time, so somebody else, okay? Okay, just the A, B, C, D, right? Yeah, running. Obadiah, Lisa, that's correct. Yeah. This is a very special prize. Okay, all right, good job. This prize actually is the special keychain. On this keychain, Jesus' words of the mustard seed faith is engraved. If you have faith the size of a mustard seed, nothing will be impossible for you. Amen, right? Yes. For your information, Genesis has 50 chapters. Jonah has 4 chapters. Zechariah has 14 chapters. And Obadiah, only 1 chapter. Wow. So Obadiah is the shortest book in the Old Testament. Just a single chapter and only 21 verses long. So, and also a special prize include a real mustard seed is included, okay, as a good reminder for you. Also, for your information, the second shortest Old Testament book by chapter count is Haggai. It has only 2 chapters. And there are four books with only three chapters each. Joel, Nahum, Zephaniah, and Habakkuk. Habakkuk. This morning, I'd like to briefly talk about Habakkuk. Well, yeah, I know. The name Habakkuk sounds a little funny and interesting. When I was growing up in Korea, I was trying to memorize all the names of the Bible in a Sunday school. And along with many other kids, I was laughing at this unusual name, Habakkuk, every time I heard it and say it. In Korean language, this name, Habakkuk, sounds very similar to Hobakkuk, which means literally pumpkin soup. So anyhow, Habakkuk is the actual name of the prophet who wrote this book. Yes, Prophet Habakkuk. Unlike many other popular biblical names, such as David, Jonah, or Joshua, this name, Habakkuk, is one of the most unusual and rarest names in the Bible. Do you know anyone among your family or friends whose first name is Habakkuk? Raise your hand. I want to see it. Nobody, right? Probably not. Yes. Interestingly, it is known that there were and still are real people who had and have legal first names with Habakkuk, but they go by the nicknames of Haba, Huck, Hep, Hey, and more. Anyhow, this Hebrew name, Habakkuk, literally means to wrestle and or to embrace. I believe this name truly shows the theme of the book of Habakkuk. This prophet wrestles with the question about why bad things happen to good people and why bad people seem to be flourishing. Nevertheless, at the end, he courageously embraces the harsh reality with his strong determination to rejoice in God in all circumstances. Yes, simply, this book is about trusting God in troubled times. If you have not read this book of Habakkuk yet, I highly recommend you read this book. According to an AI search, it only takes 9 minutes to read the entire book of Habakkuk. Yes, it is a brief book with just the three chapters and total of only 56 verses. This book of Habakkuk seems to be one of the unpopular and little known books of the Old Testament. Nevertheless, it is an important text in Judaism, and some significant passages from the book are quoted by authors of the New Testament. Its message has inspired modern Christian hymn writers. The message of the book of Habakkuk can simply be summarized in God's statement of a promise, including the famous verse, "The righteous live by their faith." As you know, this verse is the ultimate foundation of Martin Luther's Reformation, declared in 1517. It is also quoted in the epistles to the Romans, Galatians, and Hebrews as the starting point of the concept of faith. One of my personal favorite passages is from Habakkuk 3:17 and 18. "Though the fig tree doesn't bloom, and there is no produce on the vine, though the olive crop withers, and the fields don't provide food, though the sheep are cut off from the pen, and there are no cattle in the stalls. I will rejoice in the Lord. I will rejoice in the God of my deliverance. This passage is one of my personal spiritual sources of finding strength, courage, and resilience in the midst of darkness and hardships. No matter what, you should never give up, but continue doing what is right in the sight of God. You believe that in God, all your good work is going to not be in vain. Yes, God's ultimate truth is that just as Jesus proclaims, every good tree produces good fruit, and every rotten tree produces bad fruit. However, just as prophet Habakkuk confessed, just as many of us have experienced and still are experiencing, there might be certain hard times that require us extra patience and extra faith in overwhelmingly challenging situations and crises. Nevertheless, this is indeed Habakkuk's statement of unwavering faith, regardless of all and any circumstances. And this passage also calls us to rejoice even in times of despair, barrenness, and emptiness. You can still have joy. You will rejoice. You will take joy. How come? Because no matter what, you have the Lord. Your life is in God's steadfast love and amazing grace always. This morning's Habakkuk passage, chapter 2, verses 2 and 3, emphasizes that God's plans are not delayed but are perfectly timed, and that believers should trust in God's divine timing. And from this passage, God urges the prophet Habakkuk to write a vision and make it plain upon a tablet, so that a runner can read it. God's instruction here appears to be so interesting and so specific. It's like you must write down a vision statement clearly on a large enough tablet or some kind of a huge sign board so that anyone can read it even while you are running. This means that God's truth and God's vision must be clear, visible, and urgent. Therefore, this morning, I only have one insight point to share with you. It is faithful leadership requires God's vision born from spiritual discernment, deeply based on God's righteousness rather than shallow human ambition, desire, or agenda. True vision is a divine revelation, not a human invention. Fruitful leaders and congregations must align themselves with God's mission by asking, what is God trying to accomplish here through us as a faithful and fruitful body of Christ? Effective and committed leaders and members do not and should not impose their own agendas. Instead, they must prayerfully discern what God is already doing in their specific context. Whenever they begin to pursue God's vision, not their own visions, transformation towards God's harvest can take place in their ministry and mission endeavors and community life. Of course, we are not perfect. Nevertheless, we are accountable to commit ourselves to pursuing and implementing God's vision through us. Hosea 10:12 says, "Sow for yourselves righteousness, reap faithful love. Break up your unplanted ground, for it is time to seek the Lord, that he may come and rain righteousness upon you." None of the biblical characters, leaders, and heroes were perfect or totally righteous in the sight of God either. Many of God's people, especially God's anointed leaders, at first were striving to achieve their own visions rather than God's vision. No wonder they had been seen as clumsy, immature, self-centered, and lack of faith until they were exposed to God's true vision. For example, at first, Moses had no idea how to discern God's vision when he was a prince of Egypt. Being a Jew, he thought he could exercise his own righteousness by killing an Egyptian. At that time, the best way to get away from the murder was to bury the dead Egyptian in the shallow sand. How foolish, how immature he was. Better yet, later, after 40 years, when he finally discovered and embraced God's vision for him and for the Israelites, his life was radically transformed. And we know the rest of the epic story. How about Esther? Of course, her elegance and beauty enabled her to shine, and she was chosen to become a queen of the Persian Empire, which is today's Iran. But she concealed her Jewish ancestry from the king out of what? Fear. Even when her uncle Mordecai informed her that Jews throughout the kingdom would be victims of genocide, she told her uncle that she would rather not get involved. However, by the grace of God, when she finally realized God's vision for her and for her people, by risking her life, she bravely intervened to save the Jewish people from mass genocide in the Persian Empire. One more example would be Nehemiah. Nehemiah did not start out with a vision, and any vision. However, he later came to embody God's vision for him and for the Israelites. His legacy is defined by his prayerful leadership, strategic vision, and spiritual renewal, revival. Therefore, we realize that God's vision is more than the leader's vision. According to the book Bearing Fruit, written by Lovett H. Wims Jr. and Tom Berlin, quote, "Fruitful biblical leadership is about vision. It is not about a leader's vision, however, but the vision to which God is calling a people," unquote. So in this sense, we should not ask, "What is your vision and what is my vision?" Instead, we must ask, "What is God's vision for our church? What is God trying to accomplish here through us? What can we do that would serve God's reign at this time in this place?" See, it's all about God's vision for our congregation in this Riverside community. Do we have God's vision for our church? Yes, we do. Here is the thing. We already have God's vision for our church. We have been having this vision for many years, and it is extremely important for us to constantly and regularly remind ourselves of this vision. Simply having a vision is not important, but implementing it and actually living out the vision is truly crucial, essential, and powerful. This vision is clearly printed always on the first page of our church's church conference or church conference booklet. And we all are striving to accomplish this vision for our church as God's vision. So now, as I am concluding my sermon, I'd like to invite you to read this vision together. I have arranged this vision into a responsive reading for this morning. Our vision is that all members of First United Methodist Church of Riverside will glorify God in worship. Help persons of all ages to become deeply committed Christians through ministries of discipleship. Altogether, and to train, equip, inspire, and mobilize our members to live out their faith in their everyday lives outside the walls of the church through ministries of service. Amen. My sermon series, Bearing Fruit, is to be continued. Thanks be to God. Amen.